My audiobooks.ai presents The Dose, Measured, What Your Wristband Just Taught Medicine About Walking. For roughly 50 years, the single most repeated number in preventive health has been 10,000. 10,000 steps a day, the figure on every wristband, every phone, every workplace wellness poster, the default goal glowing on 100 million wrists. Almost nobody who repeats it knows where it came from. It did not come from a study. It came from a marketing department. A 1960s Japanese pedometer called the Monpokei, which translates, literally, as the 10,000 step meter. The number was chosen because it was round, memorable, and sounded like enough. But company scientists had loosely estimated that an active Japanese adult walked somewhere in that range. The figure landed on the packaging, and the packaging became the world's prescription. For half a century, public health has been organized around a slogan. And this month, for the first time, we have device-measured evidence of what the actual dose-response relationship between daily steps and death looks like, measured not by what people remember doing, but by accelerometers strapped to their wrists, recording every step, every day, for years. The study appeared September 8th in the British Journal of Sports Medicine, and it changes the picture in two ways at once. The researchers took the UK Biobank, the enormous British cohort that has become the world's most important epidemiological instrument, and looked at the subsample of nearly 65,000 participants who wore wrist accelerometers, devices that log motion continuously rather than relying on anyone's memory. Then they did something no large study had done at this scale. Instead of just counting steps, they measured intensity, specifically each person's peak 30-minute cadence, the average stepping rate during their fastest 30 minutes of the day, a number that captures whether your walking was a window shopping amble or an actual brisk walk. Then they waited and counted deaths. The headline finding upends the slogan in the most useful possible direction. Yes, more steps is better. The dose response curve runs downward in mortality as steps climb, all the way past 10,000. But the curve is not a straight line, and its shape is the first useful surprise. The steepest descent is at the bottom, where each additional 1,000 steps buys the most protection, and the benefit continues to flatten, without ever reversing, as counts climb toward and beyond the slogan's magic number. There is no cliff at 10,000. There was never a cliff anywhere. There is only a long, forgiving slope that starts at zero. But the shape of the benefit depends on intensity in a way the step count religion never told you. People who averaged under 5,000 steps a day, the group the 10,000 step gospel writes off entirely, showed substantially lower mortality risk if their peak cadence was brisk. At 80 steps a minute, their hazard of dying in the follow-up period was 28% lower than the slowest walkers at the same low step count. The hazard ratio, the statistic epidemiologists use to compare death rates between groups, where 1.0 means no difference and every point below it is a share of risk removed, was 0.72. for the brisk low steppers, against the slowest reference group, with the confidence interval clearing 1.0 comfortably. That is not a marginal, squint-at-it association. It is the kind of effect size that lifestyle interventions almost never produce. Read that again, because it is the finding that liberates the busy and the old. Even below 5,000 steps a day, walking some of those steps briskly moved the mortality needle by more than a quarter. The dose was never just the count. It was the count times the pace. A 15-minute brisk walk inside an otherwise quiet day is not a failed 10,000-step day. It is a measurably protective dose of medicine. The second study, from a 10-year national cohort of Chinese older adults, published in the journal Geroscience, completes the picture from the other end of life. Following more than 2,000 older adults for a decade, researchers found the same dose response shape for frailty. Any physical activity helped, benefits clearly appeared above 150 minutes a week, and the largest benefits came above 300. And here is the detail that pairs with the cadence finding. Low-intensity activity, the gentle, daily, unglamorous kind, showed the strongest protective association of all in their frailty data. Put the two studies together, and the message is not that intensity doesn't matter, and not that only intensity matters. It is that the dose of movement has two ingredients, how much and how hard, and both show up in the mortality data independently, and the instruments finally exist to measure them separately at scale.
At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create your own audiobooks from prompts. Turn your documents into audio, all with one subscription, and store your items in your own personal library.
Why did it take until 2026 to learn something this basic about the most common health advice on Earth? Because of how we used to count. For 50 years, almost everything medicine knew about exercise and health came from questionnaires, researchers asking people to remember and report how much they moved. The method produced the first great wave of exercise science, and it earned its Nobel-adjacent reputation. But self-report has three fatal flaws, and they were hiding inside every finding. First, people are terrible at remembering activity. We overestimate the heroic and forget the routine. Second, questionnaires can capture duration, but almost never intensity. Did you walk this week? Contains no information about pace.
Third, and most subtly, people who are healthier report more accurately, while people who are sicker both move less and remember differently, tangling cause and reporting in a way no statistical adjustment can fully untangle. The entire edifice of exercise epidemiology was built on what people said they did. The wristband era is built on what they actually did. And when the instrument changed, the first thing the new instrument found was that the old map had blurred the single most actionable variable, pace, out of existence.
The instrument that changed it is worth a paragraph of its own, because it is one of the great, quiet achievements of modern medicine. The UK Biobank is not a study, it is a national memory. Beginning in the late 2000s, the United Kingdom enrolled 500,000 adults, their genes, their blood, their scans, their hospital records, their lives, and has followed them ever since, linking every death and diagnosis back to everything measured at the start. A decade ago, 100,000 of those volunteers agreed to wear a research accelerometer on the wrist for a week, a small device that logs raw motion 100 times a second. No questionnaires, no memory, no mercy.
That single week of device data, banked against years of subsequent mortality records, is the foundation under the new exercise science. It is the difference between asking a nation how much it moves and simply knowing.
And the new instrument is already settling arguments the old one could not. For years, the literature fought over the weekend warrior question. Does exercise have to be spread across the week, or can the busy compress it into 1 or 2 days and get the same protection? Device-based cohorts have now answered it, and the answer is that the concentrated pattern works. People who pack their activity into weekends show mortality benefits close to those who spread the same volume across the week. The dose, again, is the dose. The body keeps a ledger of movement, not a calendar of it. The same device data has also quietly executed a second slogan, the idea that all sitting is poison.
The best accelerometer evidence now suggests that what matters is not how much you sit, but whether anything interrupts the sitting. Long, unbroken stillness tracks with harm, while identical total sitting time broken by brief movement does not. Sedentary, the state of being seated and still for long, unbroken stretches, is the actual exposure to avoid, not the chair itself. The slogan overshot. The instrument corrected it. The chair was never the enemy. The stillness was.
This is the same pattern this publication has tracked in other fields. The measurement changes before the understanding does. The dementia studies that disagreed because hospitals and family doctors code the disease differently. The plastic counts that undercounted because the instruments went blind below a micrometer. Now, the step counts, which for 50 years measured intention and memory instead of motion. The accelerometer is not a new health behavior. It is a new truth teller about an old one. And the truth it is telling is more hopeful than the slogan it replaces, because the slogan made health feel like a quota, and the data says it is closer to a dial. Turn up either the minutes or the pace, and the mortality curve bends.
Now, the honest complications. Because the wristband era has its own blindnesses, and pretending otherwise would repeat the last era's mistake. Accelerometers on wrists are superb at counting steps and cadence, and terrible at seeing anything that is not stepping. Swimming, cycling, rowing, lifting, carrying, yoga, most of what builds the muscle that the other half of healthy aging depends on. A person who strength trains 4 days a week and never hits 5,000 steps can look completely still to the device while being anything but.
There is also the healthy walker problem, the oldest trap in this literature, and its formal name is the confounder, a hidden third factor that moves both of the things you are comparing at once so that the association between them is partly or wholly an echo of the third thing. People who are already sick walk less because they are sick, so part of the step mortality association is the illness producing the low step count, rather than the low step count producing the illness. The biobank researchers adjust for it, excluding early deaths, modeling health status, but no adjustment fully removes it, and the brisk cadence benefit, being partly a marker of underlying fitness, carries the same caveat.
And there is the survivorship question. The cohorts wearing the devices are on average healthier and wealthier than the populations that need the advice most, which is exactly the population the next generation of these studies must reach. That gap matters more in this field than in most, because the steepest part of the mortality gradient, the zone between 0 and 5,000 steps where the protection is largest, is precisely where the least studied populations live. Older, poorer, more rural, more likely to work on their feet in ways devices miscount, and least likely to own the instrument that would include them in the evidence. The step counters of the world have so far mostly measured the people who can afford step counters.
Fixing that sampling floor is the field's next assignment, and the answer will determine whether the new science arrives as public health or as a premium feature.
At myaudiobooks.ai, you can listen to this story and thousands of others that explore the hidden science and mechanics behind the headlines.
The strongest case against this article's framing, the case for the old number, deserves a hearing too, because it is not nothing. 10,000 steps was a slogan, but slogans are how public health actually changes behavior at scale. And by that standard, it may be the most successful health intervention ever marketed. It put a goal on 100 million wrists. It is simple, memorable, and directionally correct. More steps is genuinely better, all the way up. A complicated truth about intensity and pace may be better science and worse public messaging. You cannot fit a hazard ratio on a wristband, and the person who needs the simplest possible instruction is exactly the person the slogan was built for. The researchers themselves are not arguing to retire the number. They are arguing to complete it.
Keep the count, they say, and mind the pace. That is not a slogan yet. But 500 million devices are already measuring both. And the slogan era and the instrument era are about to collide on the same wrist.
None of this arrives in a vacuum, and the official advice deserves a footnote of its own before the new evidence rearranges it. The global guideline that most countries anchor to,
150 to 300 minutes a week of moderate activity, was itself built from the self-report era, assembled by expert panels reading questionnaire studies and averaging their conclusions. It has aged remarkably well. The device data broadly confirms the range, which is either a vindication of the panel's instincts or a happy accident of compensation, with overreported duration roughly canceling undermeasured intensity. What the guideline could never say, because its evidence never contained the variable, is what the devices now add on top of the minutes, that the minutes have a texture, and the texture is pace. The next revision of those guidelines will be the first written from motion data rather than memory, and the cadence findings in the new study are almost certainly what its intensity clause will look like.
One more ingredient belongs in any honest account, because the step data alone would miss it. The other half of healthy aging is muscle, and the accelerometer cannot see it. The evidence that strength training independently predicts survival, grip strength and leg strength among the strongest single predictors of later life mortality in the entire gerontology literature, is as robust as anything in the step literature. And the two protections are additive, not interchangeable. The walker who never lifts and the lifter who never walks are each missing half the prescription. The devices will catch up to the weights room eventually. The motion signatures are being decoded now. Until then, the complete sentence the data supports is move daily, sometimes briskly, and carry something heavy twice a week.
So what should the person listening actually do with this? The data points to three conclusions sturdy enough to act on. First, the worst thing to be is sedentary, and the gradient away from sedentary is steepest at the very bottom. The largest risk reduction in the entire dataset lives between 0 and 5,000 steps, not between 5,000 and 10,000. If you do almost nothing now, the first walk of the day is the highest value health purchase available to you at any price. Second, pace is a free multiplier. The same steps, done briskly, buy more. And brisk, in the data, means roughly 80 to 100 steps a minute for most adults, a pace where talking is possible, but singing is not. You do not need a device to find it. You need a song you cannot quite sing. Third, the dose persists across a lifetime. The Chinese cohort followed older adults for a decade and found the protection compounding, which means the best day to start was 20 years ago, and the second best day is today. And the instrument on your wrist, if you have one, will now tell you the truth about both.
True findings would disprove this article's frame, or sharpen it into prescription, and each is already underway. First, the device-based strength studies. As accelerometer datasets mature, researchers are beginning to extract resistance activity from motion signatures. If those measurements validate, the wristband blind spot on muscle closes, and the full dose picture of steps plus strength finally assembles. Second, the randomized trials. Most of the device evidence is still observational, and the first large randomized trials assigning step and pace targets are now in the field. If the brisk cadence benefit survives randomization, it stops being a marker and becomes a prescription.
Third, the confounding tests. As negative control analyses and within-person comparisons accumulate, the field will learn how much of the step mortality association is the walking and how much is the walker. The answer decides whether the advice is walk more or be the kind of person who walks more. And those are very different prescriptions.
It is worth saying what this article has not claimed. It has not claimed that hitting any step number guarantees anything. These are population-level risk shifts, not individual promises. It has not claimed the 10,000 step goal is harmful. It is a decent floor with a marketing department for a mother, and the evidence says exceeding it continues to help. It has not claimed devices make you healthy. They make your activity visible, and visibility is only data until it is habit. and it has not claimed that walking is the whole of exercise. The strongest evidence in the entire literature continues to pair daily movement with strength, and the wristband cannot see your dumbbells.
Which returns to the pedometer from 1960s Japan and the number it gave the world. For 50 years, we chased a count because the count was all we could measure. The instruments have now outgrown the slogan they popularized, and what they reveal underneath is kinder than the quota ever was. Health is not a 10,000-step cliff you fall off at 9,999. It is a slope. It starts at your front door. It rewards the slow and the busy, as long as they sometimes walk briskly. And it has been measuring you, faithfully, step by step, whether or not you were ever counting.
At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create fiction, nonfiction, and turn your documents into audio, all stored in one place with a single subscription. Plus, get instant access to thousands of audiobooks and deep dive investigations. Learn more today at myaudiobooks.ai. This concludes the audiobook narration. Thank you for listening.